What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either, really.
Go.
No. Say scratch that again.
Scratch that a fan.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode. And also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Hello.
You ready to do this?
I am so ready.
This is our inaugural mini book report episode. And we have a really, really special book to share today for our firstie.
Yeah. And I just want to say that I am so excited for this type of episode. One of the key elements of being my friend is that after we hang out and have any kind of length of conversations, I will be texting you book recommendations, a podcast to listen to, some resource. And this one I have shared with so many people, this book specifically, but also, so I'm excited about it. But I'm also excited about just this format to be able to share these little nuggets more widely, to just gush and gush about the things that I'm loving.
If we have found gems, why not hold them up and let everybody else partake in the bounty? And this is one that you shared with me. I think it was like one of the first times that Otto and Micah and I visited your little home, and we sat on the floor and just like marveled over these pages, because this is a really special book. And I think that like our listeners will want it in their lives.
It's called What Makes a Baby. It's written by Corey Silverberg and illustrated by Fiona Smith. And I think I found it on Instagram, Erica Hart. Their handle is iHeartErica. Was reading it in their stories, and I just started crying because I think maybe actually crying. Sometimes I say I'm crying because I have that like feeling in my throat, but it was so beautiful and honest and true, and it didn't feel heavy there. It just felt like light and beautiful. And yeah, it is the most beautiful way to talk about how a person is made in the world.
Well, and it's like a question that I think all parents eventually feel like they have to find a way to tackle it, or like, how do we talk about this? And I think you're right. Like, the way that this book is presented, the way the illustrations come on the page, I wish we could like show everybody as we were talking through this, but like, I feel like these collaborators of this book found some way to condense all of the most important like meat and bones of this conversation, get rid of all the excess fluff that's not necessary, and tell like the most true, simple, honest version of this story without anything unnecessary.
Well, that's one of the overarching, I think, things that I've got from this book, besides it being about this like guide for how to talk about how babies are made, but just like, how do we really honestly answer questions that our kids are having without giving too much information? I think that there is this sweet spot of not lying, not dancing around it, not pretend, making it awkward. Like, we don't need to blush, or like the thing I hate most is like, we'll tell you when you're older, or this like giggling that's so belittling, and really respecting the intelligence of our kids to tell them the truth and also honor their development and only tell them as much of the truth as they are ready to hold.
That is a needle that I have not figured out how to thread. And I think having examples and even like little scripts to like approach and have it in the bank for when these conversations come up is helpful. And you had talked about some of the lines in this book that have kind of been woven into your family. Do you want to talk about like what some of those are?
Yeah. So the story starts and it says, this is a story about how babies are made. The first thing you need to know is that you can't make a baby out of nothing. You have to start with something. And then the next page has this beautiful illustration of an egg, like not a chicken egg, but an actual like in our body egg. And it says, this is an egg. And then the next page beside it says, not all bodies have eggs in them. Some do and some do not. And this phrase of some bodies do, some bodies don't, are things that we have come up so much for us in talking about anatomical body parts when we're like, why don't you have a penis or why don't I have a vulva? And we're like, some bodies. And it's been a way for us to speak about it without presuming gender on top of anatomy and just to say, some bodies have penises, some bodies do not. Some bodies grow hair in these parts of the body and some bodies grow hair in other parts of their body. And that particularly is not gendered because so many people of all genders grow hair in all different types of places. So yeah, that phrasing has helped so much. And then Rebecca, the next spread is the one that I also love this so much.
Yes, but also just to like lean into the pages that you were talking about, some bodies do and some bodies don't. I mean, like even when you think about like, well, which bodies have eggs and which bodies don't and trying to like put those into categories, that's not as simple in reality either. Like just because somebody has a vagina doesn't mean that they have eggs. I mean, I think that I love the simplicity of this description because it is so expansive and honest. Like that is the true way to talk about how these pieces and parts come together. And it includes all the bodies. We're not using some sort of box and then leaving other people out of it because of the way we've tried to arrange it to make sense for a kid. Like this is the truest and simplest way to talk about it. So I love that. And yes, the next page kind of starts a little mini arc in the book about like starting with what an egg is and what a sperm is and then what happens when they meet. And the way that this book, I guess this is probably the most metaphor that's used in the book. Most of it is just like very simple and literal true facts. And this is trying to explain like, I guess like the science part of DNA. And so the way that they frame it in the book is to talk about all of the stories that the egg holds, which is like all of the histories and the DNA, right? The like coding written into our bodies, but like to talk about it as stories. And so there's this like beautiful illustration that Otto and I look at and we try to talk about like, what is this picture? What are these stories inside this egg? It looks like there's somebody wearing a hat. Or I can't remember how Otto described it. There's like this little film strip of somebody wearing a hat. And then there's like a puppet show and there's a tree with lots of post-it notes hanging from it and a book with a bookmark. And you just try to piece together, like, what are the stories that this egg holds? And then a little bit further on, you get introduced to the sperm and all the stories that the sperm holds. So we see like a tree stump and snowflakes and pictures of ancestors on the wall and a book with a bookmark. And the way that this book describes that coming together is one of my favorite pages. I'm skipping ahead. There's other pages in here, but we skip ahead to when an egg and a sperm meet, they swirl together in a special kind of dance. And as they dance, they talk to each other. The egg tells the sperm all the stories it has to tell about the body it came from. And the sperm tells the egg all the stories it has to tell about the body it came from. And when their dance is done, they are not two things anymore. They danced around. I have goosebumps spreading up my arms and up to my cheeks. They danced around and shared so much that they became one brand new thing, which is just like the most beautiful way to talk about what is actually happening. I mean, I think that storytelling is a useful metaphor for what is actually happening, this exchange of two lives, two separate people becoming one. And then when you look at the illustration, Otto and I are looking at like the ways that those stories get woven together. So there's the tree with the post-it and also the snowflakes. And also there's a strip of photos with a book and a puppet and all of these things coming together to make one person. It's a really simple concept that a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old can understand, but it's getting at the actual strangeness of the science of it and the poetry behind what is actually happening. That's one of my favorite parts of this book.
I think also just knowing, like, even if you didn't know your birth parents, so something that this book makes so much space for is like IVS or
IVF.
IVF. Thank you. I keep thinking of internal family systems.
Well, there's like multiple though. IVF is one of them. And then there's other acronyms for other things. And I'm not well versed in. But IVF is the one we're talking about. Or surrogacy or adoption.
There's so much space. And to know that even if, and it goes on in later, and it's like, who is excited that you grew? Like, who is glad that you came into the world? And so it doesn't even necessarily mean, it could be people other than the body that carried you. So it could be the same. The body that carries you could be the bodies that are carrying you through the rest of your life. And also that could be other people. But knowing, I think it adds this like richness of being able to say like, you're still holding the DNA of these other beings. I don't know. That just struck me in this moment, how beautiful that feels too, to be able to honor someone's lineage in both ways, in this like kind of DNA way, and also in this social, in the moment, who is your family? Who are the people who are glad that you grew? Like, who was waiting for you to be born?
Yeah, it's like decoupling the idea that those have to be the same person. And it's not like your mom has an egg and your dad has, it's not even about that, right? It's like we need an egg, we need a sperm, and we need a uterus, but that pool can come from different places.
That could be from three different bodies. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, exactly. So the way that that story is told feels so inclusive to all the different ways that this actually happens, especially in 2024.
Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying. So the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show. There's also like little funny moments too. I was just on a page that said, this is a uterus. It's a place a baby can grow. And then the one next to it is, you might think that everyone has a uterus since it has the words you and us in it, but not everyone has a uterus. And I just like these little moments where there's like silly stuff. Cause then on this page, Charlie and I are like, you, us. And yeah, it just feels like there's some humor sprinkled in.
Well, and like, also, like Otto and I on that page are always like feeling our bellies, and I'm like pointing to where my uterus is and where he was. And then he's like, where's my uterus? And I'm like, you don't have a uterus, right? Some bodies do and some bodies don't. And then one of my favorite pages, just specifically with Otto, is that when they start talking about the different ways that a baby can be born, and they have a C-section page. So they have like a little drawing of like literally what that looks like. And they describe specifically. Other times, doctors will make a special opening below the belly button, take the baby out, and then close up the hole, which is literally what happens in simple terms. And then we have this little picture where Otto can imagine we've gone through this journey of thinking about the uterus that he lived in, and then imagining this is this place where the doctor cut this little hole and pulled you out. And I really like being able to share that with him, is like, this was the way it was for you. And also, as that is acknowledging, like, there's a lot of ways that this can happen.
This feels really spacious for the child telling these stories, but it also feels really comforting to a parent. Like, I have people in my life who had really traumatic C-sections, and reading sometimes there is this like sweet romanticized story of how like a mom and a dad and a baby, and that there's this like one way that the baby comes out and things happen. And I love the way that this makes sense for you, for the parent to see their story reflected too. The part where it's like, sometimes the baby's ready to come out on its own. Sometimes a midwife or a doctor will be the one to say it's time. Like, they're even kind of referencing like, maybe you're being induced. Maybe it was like easy. Maybe it was hard. And the part that talks about labor,
where it's like, no matter what, it's not an easy thing, right? Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it hurts a little, and sometimes it hurts a lot. But usually everyone needs a lot of rest afterward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that is part of it for me, is like getting to see our story represented in the pages. I mean, I think for me, my C-section wasn't traumatic. It was planned. But I even have felt this, I don't know, it's not shame, but like, this feeling on the outside when people talk about their birth stories, and there's sort of this expectation of what are the marks that go into a birth story, and like, when did your water break, and like, what, when did you go to the hospital, and like, what was that labor like? I mean, there is a little bit of an expectation of that being what a birth story is, and ours was really not like that. And I felt like our story was represented in this page in a way that felt really good to me too. And to get to share that with Otto and be like, that part, that's the way it was for us. And that is one of the ways that it happens. That felt really good to me too. And then that piece of who was waiting for you to be born. What is that line? It's like, who was so happy that it was you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one earlier that says like, who was glad it was you that grew? I don't remember where that line is, but it's stuck in my head. Maybe I made it up.
Yeah, no, I think that it's something like that.
In the very last spread, I think is Charlie's favorite one. And it says, who is waiting for you to be born? And there's like all these different people like kind of gathered around this little baby's bassinet. And we go through and name the people who are excited that he was born. And it's like, it's friends, it's family. Sometimes he assigns animals to the people. And that feels really special too, because it's not like, and mom and dad, we're so happy. It was like, there is this village of people who are happy that you were here. I'd love any time that I can name more than one adult or person who is in Charlie's network of care that he can rely on. I'm like, this is a person who cares about you. This is a person who is like safe and protective. This is your like network of people. And a good portion of those are not like blood family or like literal family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what we do on that page too. And to see that there's so many different kinds of faces on those pages. Like you said, it's not just the mom and dad and grandparents. It's just like a whole host of people, and thinking about like naming that and being intentional for him to have that name and framework in his head of people who are glad you're here, who will catch you, who see you, who value you, and letting that be expansive. I'm so glad that you told me about this book, and it's definitely like a staple that I recommend to other people all the time too. So thanks for having that habit of giving your friends bibliographies. That worked out for me.
I think that was born in grad school. I really noticed it after that. I would like sign off emails to people, and I would just be like listing links. Yeah, that's a curse or a blessing. Yeah, if you don't have this book, go get it, whether or not you have a tiny human or not. And it's so gorgeous. The illustrations are so stunning and playful. The color palette it feels so light and whimsical. Oh, also, did you know there's two more books in the series?
No. What?
Yeah. They're aged. So I don't have the third one, but the next one, oh my God, I haven't gone fully through it yet, but it's a comic book that is like puberty. And there's like four characters. I don't have it in front of me, so forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, but there's like four characters and they each feel really differently about the experience of puberty. And it's like a middle school age book, and it's a comic that like goes through all of these things, but they can see, hopefully they're seeing themselves represented in some of the experiences of these kids. And then I know that one is called Sex is a Funny Word.
What's the third one?
The other one is called, you know, Sex, Bodies, Gender, Puberty, and Other Things.
Okay, cool.
And that one I don't have yet, but this one I think is more, this is, says it's for kids 10 and up. And the Sex is a Funny Word, I should have had this. This says for kids like 8 to 10 year olds.
Oh, okay, cool. That feels like forever away for Otto and Charlie, but it's not.
Yeah, it's like half, just like double how long they've been alive, and we'll be there.
I feel like what I would love is for people who, if our listeners have already read this book, like go to our Patreon and tell us what your favorite parts are, what you love about it. And if you get it and you read it after listening to this episode, like go tell us what you think about it. We'd love to hear what's landing for other people, what is making other people get goosebumps. We would love to know. So our Patreon is a good spot to share all of that with each other.
Yeah. And if this sparked another resource that you have, we would
yeah
love to do it. Dude, this is making me think on Patreon, I'm going to make a a post and pin it that is like a resource. So we can just start like creating a kind of a glossary of all these resources.
And I really want to, like, we could do other book reports based on other people's recommendations. Like, and by the way, our mini book reports, like we started with a picture book, but there's like no limit to like what kind of resource we feel is worth our attention in this quest of personing and parenting. So poems and essays and books and memoirs and fiction and whatever it is, we're really excited to delve into all of it and pull apart what we love and how it's helping us in this big project of peopling and parenting.
Personing and parenting. Amazing. Okay. So show notes. We'll link to all the things we talked about on Patreon. We'll take some pictures and have of the book so you can see exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. And then please go follow us, subscribe on Apple and leave a review and, you know, just like make five little stars go boing.
Is that how that works? Do they go boing?
I don't think so. In my heart.
They should. That's right. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Love you.
You tell me when we're done, okay?
Bye. This podcast is edited and perfected by Amelia of Softer Sounds.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.